together. So we already see the word suffering showing up there. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So the sufferings of this present time. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and the privilege to share it together tonight. We pray you'd use it in our lives. Lord, as we especially reflect on the trials that you allow in our lives, may we learn always to look at them from your perspective. And Lord, I pray that we would grow in that way tonight. And Lord, that you would be honored. So guide us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We are heirs with Jesus Christ, it says there in verse 17. And that means that we have an inheritance. Praise the Lord. A wonderful inheritance. And if you look at 1 Peter 1, God just mentions it here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. He gives us some good descriptive words of our upcoming inheritance. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. So it's incorruptible inheritance. It's an undefiled inheritance, one that can't be faded away, can't be taken away, and it's reserved in heaven. Hallelujah. But in the same verse, he says, if so be that we suffer with him. So we love the inheritance part. Sometimes not so much the suffering part. But it's in the same verse. If you go to Philippians 3:10, Paul understood this great truth that they come together. The blessings and the sufferings are all one and the same when it comes to the Lord. Notice for Philippians 3:10, Paul here says, that I may know him. Well, that's something we all want more of. And the power of his resurrection, that's something we all want more of, is more power. But then it goes on to say, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. God ordained us to have a part in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is also part of our heritage, if you will, or God's plan for our lives. Look at 1 Peter 4, if you would, quickly. And so when we suffer, because Jesus suffered in all ways that we could suffer, and he was tempted in all ways like as we're tempted, we need to learn to look at it like God does. When we suffer, we're actually taking a part in what Jesus went through for us. We get a taste of it, if you will. Look at chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 Peter. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Look down at verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. The keeping of their souls. So we have a wonderful inheritance. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But God promises that we will also suffer with him. And we all know there are many, many scriptures that teach this, that we will suffer as Christians. It is part of being a Christian. And Paul says here in verse 18, I love this verse. You should memorize it if you can. It says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What's he saying? He's saying that when we get to heaven, the glory will be so amazing, our inheritance will be so amazing, that the sufferings will seem like nothing in comparison. Right now, they seem hard and intense and difficult, sometimes impossible. Paul says, when we compare, when we get to heaven and we look back, they won't seem like they're incomparable. Now, we know the Bible clearly teaches, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation. 1 Peter 1:6, if need be, your in heaven is through manifold temptations. And on we're told that we will have tribulation. We will have sufferings. But Paul says, I reckon that these sufferings of the time now while we're on earth are not worthy to be compared. In other words, you can't compare them in our minds, in a negative sense, to how wonderful it will be when we're in with Jesus. It'll be worth it all as we sing. The glory which shall be revealed in us, he says. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:9 and just, God doesn't give us a huge glimpse, does he? He gives us little glimpses of what it'll be like we read about the mansions. We read that our body will be like Christ's body, and we read about the kingdom, but we don't read a lot about heaven. And maybe it's because we just can't handle it. Paul got a glimpse of heaven, and he came back and said, I heard things that I'm not allowed to say, not allowed to utter them. Notice 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, we've never seen anything as amazing as heaven. We've never heard of anything as amazing as heaven. And we've never even thought about anything as amazing as heaven. That's what it says, isn't it? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Which essentially is what Paul said here. Our sufferings are not worthy to even be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. 1 John 3:2. So back to our passage here in Romans 8. He then begins to talk about our body. As we understand it, and as the scripture teaches, our soul, our spirit, saved, redeemed, our body is redeemed, but the redemption's not complete. Not until we get a new one. Amen? We're still stuck with this old one for now. And that's what he's talking about, verse 21. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So when our redemption is finalized, our body will be released from all this corruption. And then in verse 23, not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So there's that word redemption. So the soul and the spirit redeemed, the body, doctrinally, yes, practically not yet. That's still a yet in the future. We're waiting for it, if you will. So look over at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, if you would. And again, Paul talks about how we yearn for this. 2 Corinthians 5, 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That word house, he's referring to our body. We get a new house, a new dwelling place, if you will. You know, when we have a funeral, we go to 2 Corinthians 5, don't we? And typically quote verse 8. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But verse 2 says that we're waiting for that new house, which is our new body. And then look at Ephesians 1:14, if you would. Ephesians 1:14. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the down payment He's the promise from God of saying, yes, I will completely redeem you one day. Here's my Holy Spirit. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. So until the final redemption of this. It's already been purchased. He's given us a down payment of the Holy Spirit, saying, I will come back and I will take you to glory. Either through death or, of course, through the rapture. And then Philippians 3:21, we see it again. That this body that we live in will be made like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ's body that he had while he was on earth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Isn't that a blessing? So we will get a new body. And we groan for that. We look forward to that, to when our redemption is complete. In the meantime, we will have trials. We will have suffering. And Paul says we need to constantly remember that the sufferings of now are not comparable to the glory of then. And when we get to glory, we will look back and say, ah, that was nothing. Even though it seemed like big at the time. So we wait for that. Verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, our hope is real, but it's not finalized. It's not complete. He's saying if it was complete, it wouldn't be a hope anymore. It'd already be behind us. And so we, with patience, we are waiting for the culmination of our hope, which is to be with Jesus. To see him and to enter his presence with our new body and our redeemed soul and spirit, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what a great truth that our body is yet to be redeemed. In the meantime, we have to wait with patience for that day. And while we wait, we will face sufferings and trials. And yet, while we do, we need to constantly remind ourselves, as Paul said here, you can't compare these sufferings with that glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your reminder tonight about the sufferings that we endure. And I pray that we would endure them with the right attitude, with faith. Lord, knowing that they are your will, that you're using them in our lives, and Lord, that you're teaching us through them, you're conforming us, and Lord, preparing us for that day when our redemption is complete and we enjoy that glory. Until then, Lord, again, may we keep that right perspective as we look and wait for your return. We love you so much. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.